You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off this evening, if I can, by saying good evening to Don.
You're trying to sell a sandwich here. Classic.
If I can, I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
I can perform half naked.
What about if I were to try saying good evening to Michael?
Ballard misunderstood.
Well, because he's not bright.
Please tell Ballard I'm not laughing at him.
Ballard's
what he
a little
said
hurt.
Was funny though.
He's hurt. There's a little. He said he's had enough. He seems
with
to be
Michael.
Running out of. Yeah, Michael. He loves you.
Oh, I ate the head. I just felt the head crush.
Anything else come from that, RJ? That's got to be that. That's probably the moment. I know nothing.
Right.
RJ, and can I say happy birthday to RJ Santillo?
You know, I do appreciate this. This is like the third time. You've gone above and beyond.
Don, I don't know how you feel, Don. I know Michael loves RJ and values him.
Yes.
But I can say in complete honesty, RJ didn't get enough today. That's how I feel. For what he does. He's been in that studio alone for 6 months.
I know, but I don't know what else we could do.
We could have sent him something.
Happy birthday.
We could have sent him a Fudgy the Whale or an Oreo cake.
Andrew sent me the picture this morning at 7:30.
We could have sent you the actual Oreo cake.
No.
That's what we should have done.
Probably would be tased outside the building if you tried to get
in. It's a great point. Whoever would bring it would maybe be tased.
I lobbied to get Marty Biron on, talk a little Sabres hockey. But I was shot down. That would have been a nice gift, right, RJ?
That would be great. I'm not sure Peter would know who that is or what to talk about with them.
I'm a big Marty Biron guy.
Do you think Marty Biron is closer to someone that makes beer or plays a sport?
Well, it sounds like the name is Biron. Marty Biron. So he sounds like a Canadian gentleman.
What position did he play? This will tell.
Marty Biron?
Yes.
It's a goaltender.
That's right. Also a former Ranger.
Current Ranger.
But that was shot down, so I don't really know what else we could do. Because what are the classic moves, right? If it was Michael, get somebody on to wish him a happy birthday that's famous, interview him, right? Bring in the cake. We can't do that because we're not there. Play happy birthday. Well, RJ would have to play it himself, and that's no fun. I don't know what else to do except wish him a tremendous day. Did Michael give you the line? I forget.
He did not, but he did.
Oh, my God. He's never not done that.
Well, he did call me earlier. We talked he called me. We talked for about 3 minutes. He went out of his way.
You know what?
You know what?
And he said, I'm in a good spot. He did. What he said on the air was true. He said, I'm good until 36, and then you should be concerned.
Take it back, Peter. He called him.
When did he call you?
About 12:30, I'd say.
Wow. A couple hours before the meeting. Yeah. Special call. Well, that's meaningful.
You know what? That's why he's the guy that I guess we should worship, like that caller said.
Did he send you a check?
No, but he did wish me well. And as I said, he says, I have 5 years, and then I should be really concerned about where I'm going.
You said he wished you well.
That's right.
If you try to go to an Outback Steakhouse, and when the bill comes, can you pay with wish me well?
You can, but you know... and this is true of all you guys, anytime I've ever been out with any of you guys, I don't think I've paid for a single thing ever. Well, so,
Don, it's the very least, no?
You say that, but there's places where that wouldn't be the
case. There is no way, there is no way that we could take you out to dinner and Andrew out to dinner. And then we're like divvying up the check, like, all right, here's what you owe.
Can we get this five ways? Yeah.
Because the work that you guys do, seriously.
I know, it's
I'm
true.
Not just saying this because it's your birthday. The work that you and Andrew do, and especially you having to go into the city every day, work by yourself an entire building. It's like three people in that entire building.
I'm friends with all of them.
Yeah. Is talk about going above and beyond, Peter.
I know.
I'll say this right now. You will never, ever pay for anything when we're together. That's tickets. That's food. Anything.
Nothing.
If we went to a Shore House together, like when you get married and have a family, you're like, you know what? Let's go down to LBI for the week. On the arm.
We're going with Uncle Don.
Yeah.
Don, would you? I think this would be a big moment if in this spot right here, you volunteered to pay for RJ's upcoming wedding.
There's limits. And that's way beyond the limit.
All right. I thought it was a opportunity.
I'll be there, and right. I will be very generous with my gift.
When I showed up to RJ's birthday last year, which
the one I wasn't invited to?
Yes, that's right.
Wow, it's been a whole year since that.
Yeah, his fiance arranged for his birthday, and Don, it was located about 2 blocks southeast of hell.
How dare you?
And I don't mean that in terms of it being a bad place. I just mean far when you're a lazy Manhattanite. When RJ, and this should probably concern me about what RJ thinks about me. The look of shock and awe when he saw me sitting at the table.
You were the one I was totally shocked. Totally. I mean, and
flabbergasted. I'd seen him the day before, Don, and he was flabbergasted to see me.
And there were people there from our work. The Brown Show was there. Ty sure. Butler was there. JJ was there. Seeing you there was shocking. Truly shocking.
Because you think I'm such a bad guy.
I really forgot all about this. You just thought I was above it?
No, there was a head count, and Peter was one of the people entrusted.
Oh, that's right.
With getting under the head count cap.
That's
and
right.
He
it's
only
Peter's
doled
problem.
Out. Well, it wasn't all his problem, and you know, some people made the cut, and
no,
some
no,
people
I
didn't.
I think the logic was. I had a rough idea about who was going, and I was aware that Don didn't know, that Don hadn't been contacted because his information wouldn't have been known. So it was kind of up for me to decide who else I should tell.
That's what it was.
And right. I decided, and I know Don doesn't believe this and thinks I'm a bad guy, but the truth is, I knew Don would not be able to go. And so, in my opinion, I thought I spared him having to even come up with the reason or explain it because...
You're a hero.
With 2-year-olds on a weekend, a legitimate close to 2 hours away, I thought I was helping you out.
Okay. Let's move on, shall we?
Let's go back to RJ's 29th birthday. All right, Steve Cohen is set to hire Sandy Alderson as the Mets president, if the sale is approved. Of course, the deal is contingent on the sale of the Mets from Wilpon and Katz families to Cohen. It has to be approved by the owners. But if that happens, the Mets GM from 2010 to 2018 would be coming back to Queens.
I like it because the Mets' last success was built by Sandy Alderson. I always felt, go back to the tapes, Michael and I doing shows, feeling like it wasn't Sandy's fault, that Sandy was trying to make the best of a bad situation. Sandy's a Marine. Marines follow orders. And wherever he was, San Diego, Oakland, with the Mets, he can only do what his boss is telling him he's allowed to do and trying to make it work. And he made it work in Oakland, and he made it work with the Mets. So I think Cohen has a really good hire here. He's going to, I would think, be like JD is with the Rangers. He will bring baseball knowledge and support whoever the next general manager is going to be. And unlike the Rangers situation, where JD inherited a general manager, I don't think that's going to be the case here. I think he's going to let Brody go. And they're going to search for another general manager, and that person's going to work with Sandy. And I think it's going to be great. I think that really sets them up for a really, I think, decent situation.
And it's sort of a nice... We talked about earlier all the pieces that Sandy's responsible for on this team. It's really the entire core of the team. So it's sort of nice that now, with the Wilpon piece removed, which a lot of people believe to be the fundamental flaw of this team, and not Sandy, it's potentially, Don, it's sort of a nice cherry on top for him to get another kick at the can with them.
And I also think, to me, this hire shows that he's not going to spend like a drunken sailor, and maybe he's afraid he's going to, and you bring in a good baseball person, and they're not going to let him just throw a bunch of money around, because everybody wants that, right? Do you really think that the only problem the Mets have had is the lack of funds? No, they've been dysfunctional. They've spent money in the wrong place when they have spent it, not hiring the right people. So it's great that he's coming with a ton of money, but I want to see that he knows baseball, that he knows how to run a sports team. I know he knows how to make billions of dollars, but we've seen in sports, Peter, knowing how to run a business and knowing how to run a sports team are two completely different skill sets.
How long have the Wilpons had the team?
You got to go back to, Doubleday, 80? 1980?
So you're saying there's hope for me in Washington. Snyder could eventually give it up.
He could, but he's a great example of someone that has a ton of money. And I understand there's a salary cap, but how much they spend on coaches and scouts and just the general feel of the team, there is no restraint. He loves the team. I mean, when we were in that suite with him during the Super Bowl, he had a Redskin cover on his cell phone. I mean, he's a fan of the team, and how has that worked out?
Not good. It's not a guarantee. Speaking of the Mets, they lost to the Rays, and that ended things for the AL East. The Rays clinch their first AL East crown since 2010, and the Yankees will settle for a playoff berth and second place. Of course, all things considered, look at the injuries, you look at where things were a month ago. I think most sane Yankees fans, though we learned today, not all Yankees fans, will take where the Yankees are heading into the playoffs next week. Don, we didn't spend a lot of time on this last night. Very tough loss for my Boston Celtics last night. Down 3-1 now. And I will say, I feel a little different about down 3-1 in the bubble. It just...
Right.
It sort of feels like running off three straight to me is more believable. Without travel, without home and away, just sort of playing your game and seeing what happens. Now, at the same time, very often you're down 3-1 and then you're going back home for game 5. And you have that crowd fighting desperately to not lose a series that can lift you a bit. But the problem yesterday with the Celtics, more than anything, they didn't shoot the ball well, and Jason Tatum had 0 points in the first half. Mm. He absolutely went bananas in the second half, 28 points, and made it close late, but it wasn't enough. Of course, the hero for the Heat was Tyler Hero. We spoke to his head coach in college, John Calipari, earlier, but let's hear from Hero on his performance in the game last night.
And I feel the groove I'm in. I feel like I have it going. But you know, like I said before, any night it can be someone different. And you know, when you think you have it going, you want to just try to be as efficient as possible and make the right play. And you know, tonight some shots were falling for me, and my teammates just continued to give me the ball. And you know, I appreciate them for that.
He did it all, shooting outside, getting to the basket. He was really solid. Jaylen Brown on the Celtics and how they played.
I think we just came out flat, to be honest, Abby. And we just got to be better next game. It's not over. It could be done. You know, we got a lot of heart in this locker room. So we just got to come out and be better for next game. Just one game at a time. That's it.
Marcus Smart struggled from the field as well. Tatum, after the game on his first half, said, "I wasn't aggressive enough. I didn't score in the first half. That's unacceptable. So I knew I had to play better, and that's what I tried to do." He ended up with 28 points, but did not look to shoot much in the first half. 0 for 6 from the field. He has been the Celtics' best everything in this series. So Obviously, the likelihood of us getting a win last night without him, not incredibly likely.
I think you're right, though, that the venue doesn't change. You just kind of, if you play better in game five and you don't have to worry about going on the road, and I'm not saying they're going to do it, but they've been in these games and they can just change it. You know, the momentum is all about what you do for me lately, and if you take it one game at a time, it can happen. I wouldn't bet on it, but I think it can happen.
No,
I'm not in these playoffs.
I'm not checked out by any stretch. It's so funny. 3-1, it's so obvious. We say it all the time. 3-1 appears and feels insurmountable in a lot of ways. But then you win one game and it's 3-2. That's it. So I know it sounds so cliched, but it truly is just one game at a time. You just got to play one game at a time.
That's it.
Damian Woody was on with Barton Hahn.
Okay.
So three pals of ours having a chat about your favorite, everyone's favorite, most upbeat subject this week, the New York Jets. Let's hear from Damian Woody on the Jets' offensive struggles and how they're not all on Coach Gase.
When I watch the tape of the Jets' offense, we can sit here and bash Adam Gase, and deservedly so. Deservedly so. But also, I've seen some plays, man, where it's just like, what are guys doing? You know, what are guys doing? Like, there was a couple plays where I look at, you know, Frank Gore, and I'm, like, seeing monstrous holes, and I'm like...
Yeah, misses them.
Why is that? Like, why aren't you hitting these holes?
That's not all. Damian Woody had to say on the subject, though. There was more. Let's hear from Damian talking about how critical this year is for Sam Darnold.
This is a critical year for Sam Darnold, because after this year, in the offseason, you got to make a decision whether you want to exercise that fifth-year option.
Right.
That's why I came into the season like some people felt like, oh, well, Sam Darnold's the franchise guy. Me, I'm like, I need to see more. I'm not totally convinced yet. So you get rid of coach midway through the season, boy, that makes your evaluation process that much harder as far as exercising that fifth-year option.
And Damian, on Mekhi Becton.
Mekhi is a monster. There's no question. I've just been amazed at, you know, how high of a level he's been playing at, considering no offseason program. You're playing left tackle, one of the hardest positions to play in the National Football League. And he's, you know, right out of the gate against a couple really good defenses, has excelled. So, like, the future is bright for him.
Got to tell you, Don, you know, we have been incredibly down on the Jets, and deservedly so. Now, if they are absolutely awful in every way, it is hard to talk about good things. And right now, I ran into someone on the street today who was a Jets fan who was like, I don't know, we could not win a game. And I understand how you feel that way. But if they could sort of at least have this season not be a total and utter disgrace, and maybe even if it is a total and utter disgrace, finding out you have a left tackle is very good news.
Yeah, I think there's no question.
You really can't overstate. If he turns out to be that, you can't overstate how big that is.
No, listen, why do you think the Jets had success? Now, they didn't win a championship, but they were a consistent playoff team when they had DeBrickashaw Ferguson. Plug him in, bang. You know, the next 12 years go by, and you're good. At maybe, I don't know, the second or third most important position on the team, you could be good for the next decade plus. And you played Brian Baldinger last ENN, about how they should just be running plays exclusively to his side, become a left-handed team because of how good he is. Now, as far as the fifth-year option with Sam, here's why I don't think it's that big of a deal, Peter, and hear me out. If this team ends up going 3-13, well, what's Sam going to do? Is he going to hold out? What is he going to demand? I don't really think he's got much leg to stand on, right? I mean, so he doesn't seem to be a guy that's where it's going to be like a major problem if they're not sure, right? He's not going to pull a Lev Bell and not play,
right?
He's not going to pull a Jamal Adams and demand a trade. How could he? Unless we see some much better play overall. The guy that we've talked to every Monday, does he sound like somebody that's not taking responsibility? Like, how would it look all year long? Love the coach. I got to play better. Love the coach. We're missing plays. Love the coach. He's our leader. I got to do a better job. And then at the end of the year,
You better pay me. It's not my fault.
You got to pay me. You know, so I don't think it's that. I don't think it's
also,
big,
Don, we could
say
this.
Deal, but it's not a big deal, is it?
I mean, also, let's be real. And you could prove me wrong here in 2 seconds. You're a very smart, knowledgeable man. How often is a young quarterback great, worthy of getting a new deal, and their team is just dreadful? How often does that situation even come up?
I mean, how? Yeah, you're right.
It happens at running back, happens at wide receiver, happens at corner, happens at safety. How often does it happen with your starting quarterback? The team is dreadful, and he needs to get paid.
The only way you can say it wasn't me is if you blame the coach. Because you're the quarterback of the team. And if you're lousy all year, I guess you can blame. I got all weapons or whatever, but you got to be able to see it. Now, I guess the one thing he can hang his hat on is everybody seems to love him. And everybody thinks he's going to be great, but based off of three very mediocre years, I'm not really sure he's going to be any kind of leverage situation to demand anything. But we'll see. You know, things can change. I tried to bring up to R.J. Bell the fact that is it possible that the Jets are just due? That they're desperate for a win? He shut that down. He's like, no, because they're not competitive. They're not good.
Yeah,
because he was saying he thought the Giants were in good shape against San Francisco, and he talked about the injuries. But aside from the injuries, he talked about how this team's desperate. They need to win. They need it.
Russell Wilson.
But not for the Jets.
Russell Wilson, no shock, Don, has jumped to the top of the Vegas MVP odds. He started off the season at 10-1. Now he's the favorite at +320.
I don't
hate that bet.
Well,
Mr. Unlimited.
That's
right. He's accomplished a lot more than Dak. But what was Dak going into week three last year, MVP-wise? Got a lot of football to be played. Now, again, I think he's a better quarterback.
Well,
I think
and he's always in the conversation, Don.
He's on a much better team.
Hey, Seattle.
That's right. But, Don, Dak is great, but is he
Mr. Unlimited?
You knew what I was saying.
Mr. Unlimited.
Well, here's the challenge. You know how good he is, but has either of the two quarterbacks that he'll compete with for that MVP,
Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes,
have they shown you anything in the first 2 weeks to make you think that they are not going to be in the conversation? Their teams or their play?
No, honestly, let me do the math on this. Right now, Russell's +320. So, Don, help me with the math here.
Yes.
That means if you bet 100. 50,
and then add 10.
60.
Then divide it by 4.
12.
No.
20.
No.
If you take 100 and bet it, you're getting back 420, correct? You're getting +320.
Wouldn't you get 320?
You get 320 back?
That's how I understand it.
By the way, I bet. That's the embarrassing part. So you bet 100, you get 320 back. If you bet 100 on Mahomes, you get 450 back.
Right.
You bet 100 on Jackson, you get +500 back. It's worth it to throw down money on all of them because it's going to be one of those three.
You would think. I mean, I don't know anybody else that would probably be in that conversation. I guess there could be. But right now, through the first 2 weeks, I think those would be the guys. Now,
you'd make money no matter what. Even if it's +320, Wilson's the lowest odds, you're 300. You'd still make 20 bucks. But you make 200.
Woo! Now, let's throw this out there. You talk about drop-dead gorgeous, breathtaking Monday night game.
How's
that? No joke.
Oh, yeah.
That's got Sunday night written all over it. Chiefs-Ravens? I mean, you're walking down the aisle. And you're taking a peek at that in the pew as you pass by.
Oh, my God. I've never heard you say that.
I just made that up.
Wait, Don, hold on real quick.
Right.
This game is so sexy. You're walking down the aisle on your wedding day.
Right.
You look over to the left, and you see Chiefs-Ravens. And it's so sexy, you don't know what to do. But then you really want to confuse your marriage altogether, and you don't even know what you're doing. You look to your right, and you see the Sunday nighter, Packers Saints. And yeah. She's looking pretty good.
I know, but then you're looking back over at Chiefs Ravens.
But Don, hold on. Packers Saints is in New Orleans.
I get it, and it is attractive.
And Aaron Rodgers on turf. These guys, those are two sexy games.
The movie Hard Bodies, 1984.
But you know what?
You know, hear me out here. Ravens Chiefs is Packers Saints 5 years ago.
That's fair. I know.
Now it's good. They're beautiful.
But hold on. By the way, it's a family of three sisters, and the third sister. Listen, she's not your favorite personality-wise. She's kind of terrible, but given the right day, you still and you know the right time of day. That Cowboys Seahawks 4:25.
Yeah.
Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. Still a good-looking game.
Yeah, it's good. But then there's
Seattle.
That's right.
Then there's a fourth sister they don't talk about, which is Jaguars Dolphins.
That's tonight. Well, and then there's a brother who just did time in jail, and that's the 49ers Giants. All right. The family gets worse and worse as the day goes. Then there's a cousin who people actually speculate is a neo-Nazi, and it's the Jets cult. There's some really questionable Twitter posts. Not even attractive, just mean-spirited. That is smoking, chain smoking through the whole wedding. That's the Jets-Colts game.
Oh, this was so much fun, man. This was a nice little walk down the aisle, wasn't it?
We've never taken it. I'm surprised it's taken us this long to go this far with the analogy.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, before we wrap up, Ian, a couple things to add to. Damon Snacks Harrison says he wants to come back to the NFL. And guess where he's having a meeting, Don?
Giants?
No. Think of a good team that just like likes to add pieces and get better. And they're just like, you know, this could be useful.
The Patriots?
Think about Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, Seattle.
That's
hey,
right.
Seattle.
Mr. Unlimited.
Snacks.
Because Snacks has been very chatty on Twitter, like positive Giants and stuff. And so I thought he had something going on about coming back. I think he wants to come back. But you know what? I'm a Giant fan. And I'm picking Seattle.
Yeah. No. And listen, the Giants could use him. But if you're him and you're coming back for one more year, no. Go to Seattle, my friend. John Gruden calls Cam Newton Slam Newton. He said he calls him Slam Newton because he's, quote, a power forward playing quarterback. The Raiders trying to slow down Cam and the Patriots this weekend.
Is this a story if anybody else said it?
No, but people care about Gruden.
We just love when Gruden speaks.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. It's great for football if the Raiders are good. Man.
Well, it always is.
But,
there's certain teams.
But it's a double whammy. It's a double whammy because the Raiders are the Raiders and Gruden's Gruden. Like, it would be. And by the way, and good for Gruden's legacy. It's not easy. We're now kind of like 2 years removed from it. The Gruden leaving the booth thing was a story for years. And then he comes back and it was immediately ugly. And then last year, the Antonio Brown mess.
Well, and so then the money they gave him, like handing him the franchise, that was not received well.
No. And now they have the new stadium. They're in Vegas, and they look good. It's only two games, but it would be a win for a lot of people if they can get it together. Also, another day, more Bruce Arians, our guy, talking more badly about his players.
Okay.
Today it's the wide receiver group.
All right.
concentration. You drop the damn ball. I mean, you can go get on the jugs machine. You can beat yourself up about it. If you wouldn't be here if you couldn't catch. So fix it.
Fair enough.
That's no problem with that.
I forget which receiver it is. Who's the receiver? Who's Brady's receiver? Who's just a speed demon? I think he's a rookie. And he was a sprinter in college. He took a ball off the face on Sunday. Also, representatives for the NFL, the NFLPA, MetLife Stadium, the Giants and Jets, had an inspector to conduct an additional review of the field surface at MetLife Stadium on Wednesday. It was again verified that the field meets all standards and protocols. So, of course, that's after the Niners and Coach Shanahan complained about the turf in relation to their serious injuries they suffered on Sunday.
If I'm the 49ers, I don't know if I'm satisfied with the results, but I have to be satisfied with the effort. I mean, they took it seriously, right? Two separate occasions they went and inspected it. So you have to feel like they did their due diligence. You may not agree with the result, but got to give the NFL credit for taking it seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you could ask for much more than that. Whether they're satisfied with it, we'll find out. That'll do it for E-N-N.
This was great. Really.
On RJ's birthday.
I enjoyed this one a lot.
It was a good time.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.